We don't have Thursday night football to wager on today, but still a lot to look forward to this weekend. Very pleased to welcome in Ian McMillan with our weekly gambling segment. Ian, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. Normally, we start off with maybe some baseball. We've had hockey the last little bit. I want to jump right into a subject that is both near and dear to your heart and one that I assume brings you much pain, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. Dan Quinn, no longer the head coach of the Falcons. This is something that we had been predicting for a little bit. But your reaction to the Falcons no longer being led by Dan Quinn?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was after when they lost to the Bears and they gave up that big lead against the Bears, I kind of declared myself that I wasn't going to be a Falcons fan anymore, but I've kind of come to learn that it's almost impossible to stop cheering for a team that you've been cheering for almost 20 years for. It's like trying to break up with a girlfriend that you've been dating for 18 years, and the Falcons logo is still my wallpaper on my computer, and I don't have the heart to change it. And now after them firing their coach, they're kind of bringing me back in. I mean, I'm going to wait to see who they're going to hire in the offseason. I hope they don't keep their defensive coordinator Raheem Morris there as a full-time head coach, because I don't like him as a defensive coordinator. I don't like him as an interim head coach. I hope they get the Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, if that's how you pronounce his last name. I think he's going to be the best candidate on the market there right now. And with considering what he's done with the Chiefs offense, I think the Falcons offense can thrive. So I'm glad they finally did what they should have done in the offseason in getting rid of Dan Quinn. But we'll see what they do here in the offseason coming up.
Now, we saw the Houston Texans get a bit of a boost by firing Bill O'Brien. Who knew? The Falcons now. COVID test with the organization today, so that game a little bit up in the air. But Atlanta taking on Minnesota +4 is where the line's at right now. I think it opened at 6.5. Any thought of a post-coach firing boost for the Atlanta Falcons?
I mean, it's always possible. Like I said, I don't like Raheem Morris and their offensive coordinator, who I don't like either. Dirk Cutter's still there, so... I think you kind of have to look at it situation by situation. The Texans, I think Bill O'Brien was the central issue to kind of their woes. And already what Romeo Crennel did in their first game without Bill O'Brien is impressive. And maybe we can get in the Texans game here in a little bit. But I just don't kind of see it with the Falcons, because, yes, Dan Quinn was probably part of the issue. But I think their two coordinators were an even bigger part of the issue. Their offensive play calling was terrible. Their defensive game plans were bad. They acted like on defense, the running back catching the ball out of the backfield was some sort of trick play that they would never see coming. So I'm not buying into them bouncing back this week with a win over the Vikings. You said it's a 4-point spread. I am still betting on every single NFL game this year. What I'm doing in that game is I'm just going to take the over in that game at 54 and just hope for points.
Okay. You mentioned the Texans taking on Tennessee. I think this is a real interesting one. Again, the Texans look pretty good post-Bill O'Brien. The Titans looked really good, but that game was on Tuesday, and this one's on Sunday. I think there are a few interesting variables going into this one. What do you like in Houston, Tennessee?
Yeah, so the big thing I noticed in this game, I'm actually going to take the Texans just to win outright on the money line, +165. The big thing that I noticed in this game, the Texans right now are averaging the fewest rush attempts per game, only running the ball 20.4 times per game. But last game, when Romeo Crennel took over as the interim head coach, they ran the ball 34 times, and they did it extremely effective against the Jaguars. They had 216 yards on the ground, 16.4 yards per carry. So Romeo Crennel's making their game plan a little bit simpler, not, kind of making Deshaun Watson carry their offense. They're running the ball a lot more. And the reason why I like that against the Titans, because the Titans are actually giving up the most yards per carry on defense in the entire league. Teams are getting 5.5 yards per carry against them. So if the Texans continue kind of their new game plan of just making the offense a little bit more simple, run the ball, use the running game to set up the pass, I think that's going to be a lot more effective. And I think this is a great time to kind of sell high on the Titans. They looked incredible Tuesday night, but as you mentioned, it's a short week. The Titans are undefeated, but last on Tuesday was the first time they actually covered the spread. So I think this is a good time to sell high on the Titans. I think they're a good team. They're probably going to be in the playoffs, but I don't necessarily think they're as good as a lot of people think they are. right now. So I'm actually just going to take the Texans to win outright in that game.
Another fun interdivision matchup just on the other end of the country, and that's in the AFC North with Pittsburgh taking on Cleveland. I'm still not necessarily taking the Browns all that seriously, but it does seem like Vegas is. Is this one just a 3.5-point spread with Pittsburgh as the favorite? Are you taking the Browns seriously, and what do you make of a 3.5-point spread in that one?
I am taking the Browns seriously, but this is a terrible stylistic matchup for the Browns, in my opinion. So I am going to take the Steelers. The thing that looks important to me in this game is the fact that the Steelers defense right now, second in opponent rushing yards per game. They're only allowing 64 yards on the ground per game. Second in opponent yards per carry, only allowing 3.3 per rush. And we all know if anyone's watched the Browns this year, their whole offense is based on the run. Even their pass game is based on play action, rolling Baker Mayfield out after they establish the run. So it's going to be hard to establish a run, not only because the Steelers' run defense has been so good this year, but also they're still missing Nick Chubb, obviously, which is their best running back. And the other thing that sticks out to me about the Steelers is the fact how much pressure they're putting on the quarterback. Insane numbers. They're first in the league in quarterback hurry percentage, 18.8%. First in sacks per game. They're having 5 sacks a game, which is absolutely insane. And Baker Mayfield's not exactly known as a quarterback that deals with pressure very well. So I do like the Steelers in this game. And it's not necessarily that I think the Browns are overrated. I just think stylistically, this is not a good matchup for the Browns. So I'm going to take the Steelers to cover that 3.5 points at home.
Another one that I just caught my attention here. San Francisco opened up as a 3-point favorite against the Rams. That's changed quite aggressively, as now the Rams are 3.5-point favorites against San Francisco. Just a pretty big swing there. Do you have a lean in that divisional matchup?
Yeah, this one's tough. Yeah, because the Rams seem so obvious, especially don't forget the 49ers have lost outright as 7 or bigger, higher point favorites already this season. They lost in week 1 at home to the Cardinals, the 7-point favorites. Lost to the Eagles a couple weeks ago on Sunday Night Football as 7-point favorites. And then last week, I think they were 8-point favorites against the Dolphins at home and lost all of those outright. I'm not a big believer of the trap game of where a bet seems so obvious. It's the opposite's going to happen, but I have to take the Rams here. I just don't see any statistics that kind of back up the 49ers here. The only one that I did find is we obviously know the 49ers, they love running the ball. The Rams' run defense isn't necessarily the best so far. 23rd in opponent yards per carry at 4.7. You might want to take a look at the under in this game. I believe it's in the low 50s. The under might be a decent play. Both teams like to run the ball. And we know, the more teams run the ball, the clock's going to keep moving. The more the clock moves, the less time is going to be on the clock, which means less of an opportunity, obviously, for points to be scored. But as far as a spread, I think I got to take the Rams. I love what the Rams have been doing so far this year. I think I've said it before. I love how Sean McVay is running their offense. He's not putting he's not making Jared Goff throw the ball 50 times a game. It's a lot more of a game management, running the ball. Jared Goff isn't necessarily throwing deep all the time. So I love what Sean McVay has been doing. I love what the Rams have been doing. So I'm going to take them to win and cover on Sunday night against the 49ers.
Chatting with Ian McMillan from Odd Shark and the Bacon Bets podcast here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Any other NFL action that I haven't covered with you that's really caught your attention?
Yeah, there's one really interesting game and something that's going on in the Green Bay Packers against Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. So the Packers opened up that game as 2.5-point favorites over the Buccaneers, and everyone started betting on the Packers. The Packers are the most publicly backed team so far this week, but we've actually seen the line move the opposite direction. The Packers open at 2.5-point favorites. They're now down at 1-point favorites. So despite being the most publicly backed team, the line's moving the opposite direction, which tells me that's a sign that a lot of sharp money is coming in on the Buccaneers. So if anyone's listening and doesn't know what sharp money means, that means it's the professional bettors, the ones who live in Vegas, who do this for a living, who bet thousands of dollars at the time. Those sharp bettors are backing the Buccaneers in this matchup, and that's usually what causes line movements more than public money. So, I mean, all the sharps are on the Buccaneers, which makes me nervous to take the Packers, because I can't necessarily find any reason to back the Buccaneers. They didn't look good against the Bears last Thursday night. They do have a little bit of an extended week heading into this game because they played on Thursday night. Tampa's defense is very good so far this season. Maybe that's a one sign. They're fourth in sacks per game, first in opponent yards per rush attempt, so they're very good at stopping the run. So maybe sharp bettors are thinking that if they can stop the Packers' run game, if they can stop Aaron Jones, force Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball all game, maybe they can keep it close and win this game. I'm personally just going to take the under 55 in this game because I wanted to take the Packers. They seem so obvious, but with all this sharp money coming in on the Buccaneers, just kind of made me, it scared me away from that bet. And I think both defenses are pretty solid. So I'm going to take the under, but I thought that was kind of interesting looking at that with a team being so publicly backed, the line still moving in the opposite direction. So a lot of that sharp money is coming in on the Buccaneers. So as a sports bettor who's just kind of interested in line movements and where money is coming in, that's going to be an extremely intriguing matchup to watch on Sunday.
Yeah, the science of line movement is so fascinating to me. Last one for you. We'll head over to Major League Baseball. Still two games on the schedule today. Anything from Major League Baseball catching your attention?
Yeah, I think the Rays finish it off tonight. The thing with the Rays is that's going to make it so hard for the Astros to make a comeback against them in this series. They're just so good defensively. One of the best bullpens in the league. Their starting rotation is good. And when you're going up against a team that is that good defensively, even their fielding is good. They make very few errors. It's tough to come back down 3-0 because a team that's good defensively is not going to leave you a whole lot of holes. So the Rays are minus 38 to close out the series tonight. I think that opening pitch is in about an hour and a half. I've got to take the Rays to finish off that series tonight. Also, the Astros. Kind of surprising that they got this far because the regular season numbers were not very good. Their bullpen hasn't been great. Their starting rotation hasn't been great. Their offense has been average at best. So I'm going to take the Rays tonight. And then in the later game, the NLCS, I mean, it's Clayton Kershaw. He's finally going to get the start, and he's going up against the Braves who are doing a bullpen game. So if the Braves are doing a bullpen game against Clayton Kershaw, that to me kind of seems like, in a sense, they're mailing it in. Obviously, they're not completely mailing it in. They're still going to try to win the game. But if you're putting out Bryce Wilson as your starting pitcher and then turning to your bullpen after that, going up against Clayton Kershaw, it's going to be tough for them to win the game. And the odds kind of reflect that as well. Dodgers are minus 235 favorites. So with the odds being kind of that lopsided, I'm not going to bet on that game tonight. It's probably going to be 2-2 after tonight. If you want to lay the juice at minus 235, go ahead. But I'm going to wait for game 5 for me to make another bet in that series.
Ian, awesome stuff, man. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter. That's the best place to find me. It's Ian MacOS, IAINMACOS. As you mentioned, I also do a podcast, Bacon Bets Podcast, it's called. I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm betting on all 256 NFL games this season. So I come out with an episode Thursday morning where I break down all my bets for the NFL's action this weekend. So you can find me there as well.
Awesome stuff as always, man. We'll chat next week.
Thanks a lot, man. Take care, and best of luck to anyone who bets.